And this is Bob Martin. We're here today with a Kansas City entertainment legend, promoter, producer, and lacrosse Hall of Famer, Chris Fritz. Chris, welcome to Take 10.
Good to meet you. How are you? Good to see you again.
I am fantastic today.
Actually, we met a long time ago.
Did we?
Yep. So,
Was it in Sedalia by any chance?
I hope you weren't there. But you might have been. You were a kid probably then. So.
You've got a long and winding road, an illustrious career in the entertainment industry here in Kansas City, but one of the things that you're well known for is the Ozark Music Festival, I guess, which attracted about 400,000 people down in Sedalia, and may or may not have precluded your ability to go back to the middle part of the state. Can you talk about the Sedalia activities?
Well, I'll give you the cliff notes on it. We sold the city on an event that was called the Ozark Music Festival Arts and Crafts Fair, and from going from kind of a bluegrass country, some very folky stuff, we went to, it ended up being a pretty heavy show at the time, you know, with the Eagles, Aerosmith. There was about 50 bands and Ted Nugent and stuff like that. So kind of got a little, and then we had a good marketing team that put a couple of ads in Rolling Stone. So we got people from every state except Hawaii. All the license plates matched up.
Sure.
And if Puerto Rico doesn't count, it, I guess, is a state. But nobody from Puerto Rico is there that I know of. So to make a long story short, we were set up for 25,000 to 50,000 people. It's upwards of 400,000. Nobody really knows. But the town was taken over. Food supply went short or non-existent. The water supply was drained. People weren't very happy. And the one thing we forgot to do in this whole process of doing the festival, any thought of trash or cleanup. So we literally trashed the place. And we just never even thought of that. Like, oh, you mean you have to pick up after 400,000 people? So the town was livid. The poor fair manager, he was forced to resign. And I was prohibited from ever coming through Sedalia or stopping even at the wheel. And this went on up until Hearn Christopher wrote an article about it and says that I was exempt from the city. And the mayor, the new mayor, said, well, that's not right. I'm going to get that waived, and he's more than welcome. And if he ever wants to do another festival, we'd be interested. So I don't think I'm doing that.
No.
I don't think I get much support. Plus, they passed legislation that anything over 50,000 people can only be a one-day event in the state of Missouri after this festival. But it was there's a lot more to it, but we'll probably leave that for another
day. So five, 6 years after Woodstock, and that news hadn't quite made it to Central Missouri yet?
No, they didn't. We didn't think it was going to be that big. You know, it was like at 8 o'clock in the morning, we had over 75,000 people at the gates, and we had a bunch of 18-year-old Wells Fargo security guards that just ran, and it became a free show by 9:30. But we had sold 60-some thousand tickets. And back then, if you can imagine, if you know anything about this business, the hotel budget was $192,000. Today, I can't hardly buy any of the top 10 bands that play there for under $1 million, $1.5 million. Today, we figured out the show today would cost $48 million to do if you've got deals. So just for the talent.
Sure.
Yeah, so it was an experience.
So you went from producing shows to artist management.
Yeah.
How did you like that? What were some of the high points of that experience?
Oh, I did artist management, plus I had a record label. And the first label was called Pacific Records. You know, there's Atlantic Records, so I go Pacific. I put out a couple of bands, one Grand Max and another London. And then Atlantic Records owned Pacific Records, but they had let it lapse, so actually I ended up owning it. So I forgot even who they put out on Pacific Records. They said, well, you're in violation of my label. And they said, well, what would it take? And I said, at that time, probably could have got a lot more, but I said, give me 10 grand and pay for the records out, or let me use the label until these records are gone. So I got that, and I changed it to Panama. It was going to be Panama Red, but I figured, you know, we wanted to get into Target. And
sure.
And you know, at that time, it probably wouldn't work. So then I put Missouri out, and I managed them, and then we had Missouri too, and that was actually went to Polygram.
Talk to me about your stints in the sporting world.
We've done Motorsports, which was United Sports of America, which merged to be what is now Feld. He bought the whole stuff out, but at the time it was Pace. And then we did the N1 Tour. And the thing I'm kind of really proud of, is, because nobody can believe we actually did this and it still exists today, we started an indoor lacrosse league. And they go, how did two guys from Kansas City? And to make it quick, how I got into it, I saw these guys roller skating with lacrosse sticks and Speedos, and I down in Westport, and they're beating the crap out of each other.
And said, why wouldn't you, right? You're dressed like
this
that.
This is a great sport, you know. And so I started getting into it a little bit, and then these guys couldn't catch a ball for anything, so they could hit each other with the sticks. But they had all the gear on, motocross sure. gear and everything else. And but they were on regular roller skates, so I went back east. Actually, the guy with the Comets knew some people back east in lacrosse, and I went to a convention, and I saw what the real game was, and I dropped that whole idea of roller. It was going to sure. be roller cross, and what was the movie I tried to get? It was the roller... Rollerball, and Warner Brothers went sell it because then they said we might come out with another movie, and they did. It was horrible, but whatever. So then we started an exhibition thing for after the Olympics, and in, what was that, 84, and he had three successes and about eight cities at Stiff, but I talked my partner and the other partners all bailed. But Russ Klein, my partner for still almost to this today, he said, okay, I'll roll with you. We'll try it. So we started a league. Four teams, and went up to as high as 11. Then we were forced out by the players to break it up. And that's it.
But nonetheless, you're in the Hall of Fame.
Russ and I and the Gate brothers were the first inductees in 2001. To the Indoor Lacrosse League.
Obviously, you've had an adventuresome career, a noteworthy career. You've had some success. What about failures? Where, if you look back on your life, what would you say might have been the lowest point, and what counsel would you give? What did you learn from that in terms of overcoming
experience? I think his name was Wozniak, and he came to me. I was sitting there with Ryan O'Neill, brought him over when I was in L.A., and he said, hey, if this guy's got this thing called Woodstock, and you can invest in it. And so what he was going to is Warner Brothers, and I said, well, I don't think that record or anything's going to do good. So, but he was looking for $25,000. It would have been a good investment, but some, you know, we all have failures. I mean, and especially in the concert business, we call them temporary losses. So hopefully the next one will pay for it.
Well, that's a great lesson for people who are starting their own business, regardless of the industry.
You're gonna take hits. There's no way out of it. I mean, if everything was good, everybody would be a Zuckerberg.
Yeah, we're not going to be sitting here right now, would we?
No.
Really?
Well, I would. I mean, yeah, I would like to say.
You wouldn't be here with me, Chris.
It'd be better than doing something else.
I suppose, sure. A lot of us are aware Billy Joel's coming to Kauffman Stadium this summer. What do you remember about promoting concerts, particularly at the K?
Did I do that?
I don't know.
Did you no. that? Yeah, they were fun. There were some challenges with the tunnel. Today's production is even bigger, so I'm sure it's more, unless they straightened it out. But they were great. I remember the one show we had with REO Speedwagon, and they were doing Riding Out the Storm. And had the tornado warning and stuff. Back then, I guess they didn't pay much attention. We thought you should evacuate. Nobody said, oh, we'll be okay here. It rained 9 inches. And literally, I was up to my knees on the infield because we had tarps down. Nothing was draining. And they were still playing. And all the electrics were underwater. I don't know how I don't know how that show ever didn't, one, electrocute all of us, or two, even continued without going short. But it was amazing.
That's great.
But that was one. There was a lot of good stadium shows, summer jams and the super jams.
Sure. Back in the day, Arena Rock.
Yeah.
On that note, at the end of every Take 10, we like to ask a non-maudlin question, if you will, something off the shelf. Your question obviously has to be, what's your professional theme song? What would it be? Why?
Walk This Way.
And you want to illuminate
sing it?
That?
You want me to sing it?
Sure, if that's your gig.
No, I don't think. No. You know, it's just, you know, you got to have the walk, you have to have the talk. So, you know, I love Aerosmith. So it's one of my favorite bands. So. That's all I got to say about that.
Fantastic. Chris, thanks for your time. This is Take 10.